We begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Yud. We begin 4 lines from the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues discussing the previous daf, and that is our mission on the previous daf on Tesama Beis. Said there are certain things one should not begin before this man of Mincha, when it's close time to that, and one of them being that one should not begin a meal because he might continue the meal and he's going to miss the time of davening. However, the Mishnah said that if he began already that activity, one of them being eating, then he doesn't have to stop. He could continue, and then after he finishes whatever he was doing, then he'll go ahead and daven. So the Gemara gave 2 interpretations of what does it mean that one began his meal, that then he wouldn't have to stop anymore to daven. One of them being that he washed until his time. The other one is that he opened up his belt to make room for the new food that's coming in. And the Gemara said it's not a machlekes. One is for the people in Eretz Yisrael that did not tighten their belts, so therefore their meal began when they washed until his time. However, the people in Babel who had their belt tightened, that's how they used to go around, so they would first unfasten their belts, and that would make room for the new food, and then they would wash until his time. So the meal was already considered that it started from when they opened up their belt, and then they wouldn't have to stop. To which the Gemara begins on our daf, on daf Yonah, 4 lines from the top. Maskabla Rav Sheshes. Trichus lemesa hemyoni, is it such an inconvenience for the person to fasten his belt? So good, so he started, so to speak, by unfastening, but let him just close it. What's the big deal? And let him go ahead and daven. And moreover, the Gemara seems like the main shaila is, let him stand as is and daven. Why does he have to tighten his belt? What's wrong with letting him daven with his belt open? So that the Gemara answers, as the Pasuk says, that you should prepare to meet your God, Kala Yisrael, and that is, you should make yourself beautiful. In other words, you should be respectful when you're davening. And therefore, it's not fitting to have the belt open. Therefore, it would have to be closed. And therefore, once you started your meal and you're not any more prepared for davening, then you could continue your meal. And then when you're finished, then you could go ahead and daven. And the Gemara brings the minhagim, the customs of many different amiroim, how they would go regarding their dress when it came time for davening. Rav Abba Rav Huna, Rami Puzmaki Umatzli, that he would first don fine footwear, put on beautiful shoes, and then he would go ahead and daven. In other words, maybe he would have these, some so to speak, these junky boots or whatever it is. When it came time to daven, he would get dressed properly. And Amma Hichan Likras Bagayim, he would quote that following pasuk of that a person should prepare himself to meet. Obviously, you're meeting, so to speak, a king, but we're talking about the king of all kings. For sure, he should be dressed properly. Another Amma Rava Shadigli, may he would cast off his cloak, and that is, he would take off his respectful coat that was probably like one of the Gedolei Ador. He had a very chashva mantle that it shouldn't seem like a chashva person. Upacher yodin, he would clasp his hand. In other words, he would like have his hands with his fingers like a person that's, so to speak, worried from the awe and the fear of his master. Umatzei, then he would go ahead and daven. And he would say, Omer ka'avdi kamei mori, you have to be like a servant in front of the master, not respectful, not like, so to speak, like a Valgaivi. He took off his respectful clothing and he would, so to speak, have a certain humility in his posture, because he was davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Vashi, Vashi said, Chazine le Rav Kahana, I observed Rav Kahana, ki, and it would depend on what the circumstance in the world was, how he would daven. And that is, ki yikatsar ba'alma, when he was suffering in the world, shodi gli me'ufachu yodi matzi. Then he did, as we just mentioned from Rava, that he would throw off his coat, and he would tighten his hands and clasp them, and then he would daven. And Omar Ka'abdi Kamei Mori, he said, like a servant in front of his master. In other words, we're afraid, there's suffering in the world, we have to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Kika Shlomo, when there's peace in the world, then Lovish Umiskasi Umisatif Amatze. Then he would dress himself and cover himself and wrap himself, and then he would daven. And Omar, he would say, Hichin Likras Lekechison. Then he would say the other pasuk, a person should be, so to speak, dressed very nicely in his finest attire. So it would depend on what the situation was, if it was a time of peace, and then in other words, it was respectful to come dressed properly, or in the time of suffering, then, so to speak, to be like a servant in front of the master. Rav Chazil Rav Amnuna, the Kamarach Bitzlusi. Rav saw that Rav Amnuna was prolonging his davening. He was davening a long time. So he said, Manichin Chaya Ilam Vo'iskim Chayesha, that they, in other words, reference to Rav Amnuna, that they're forsaking the eternal life, and they're occupying themselves with a temporary life, and that is, Torah is nitzchi, Torah is forever. Tefillah is a request, is beseeching Hashem for our temporary transitory life, for refuah, for health, for peace, and for sustenance. Those are those things we daven for. So therefore, don't daven so long. You're leaving something that's temporary, something that's eternal, for something that's temporary. However, v'husav Rav Amnuna held v'zman tefillah l'chod v'zman Torah l'chod, that the time of davening is separate and the time for learning is separate. Each one has its proper place in the world, and therefore it's necessary to, so to speak, sometimes daven along Shemayin Esrei. The Gemara brings a story related to this, that Rabbi Yirmiyah Havayosef Kamei Reb Zer. Rabbi Yirmiyah was standing, was sitting in front of Rabbi Zera, and they were dealing in the sugya and learning. Negalitz Luya got late for the time for davening, so to speak. It was getting shkia, whatever it was. Vavakumisar Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he was hastening Rabbi Yirmiyah, that in other words, he was getting up, he was getting quick to start getting up. So Karla Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera called about Rabbi Yirmiyah, that he saw that he was agitated, so to speak, to go ahead and daven. He quoted the following pasuk from Mishlei on him. Meser Azna Mishmoya Torah, whoever turns his ear from hearing Torah, Gam Tvilasi Te'eva, then also his davening is loathsome. In other words, we're middle of learning. And as we're going to see later in the Gemara, there are those that Tairasam Umnasan, that learning takes precedence over davening. The davening is Chayisha. And now we're middle of learning, we shouldn't be interrupting our learning, although it's time for davening. Now the Gemara goes back to quoting the Mishnah. We discussed when it was the beginning of eating. We discussed when certain things begin. Now the Gemara asks, Me'emes ha'aschol is din. What is the beginning, what's considered the beginning in halacha, that the trial has begun, that then it's applicable to the halacha, that although you shouldn't begin it when it's time for mincha, but if you started already, then you don't stop and you can finish the court case, and then afterwards to go ahead and daven. So what's considered that it started already? So we have two different opinions. One says from when the judges wrapped themselves, and that is that they would wrap themselves in their talis when they would open up into the court case from the awe, from the fear of the Shekhinah of the Divine Presence, and that their head shouldn't turn to either direction, that they should have a das meyusha, that they should have a settled mind. And the other one says, mishiyiftechu baladinim, for when the litigants start their tainus, when they start saying they're both what they have, what they're here for, that's when it begins. And the Gemara says, v'lei pligi, and these two opinions are not arguing. It depends. Hada askiva asabedina, that one of the cases is told that they were already involved in cases from beforehand. And that is, before they came to this court case, they were dealing with a different court case, and therefore they were already robed, so to speak. They already had their heads covered in their talis. And when they finished that court case, then this court case came in front of them, and it was close to the time of Zman Mincha. So when does that court case deem that it begun? That's when the different litigants started saying their complaints. Because here you can't say that talking about that they robed themselves because they're already robed. And ha, this opinion, the loy askiv asabedina, was when they were not already involved in the din, and therefore that would begin when they would, so to speak, robe themselves in their talis and they would be ma'utif. So that's when the two different opinions are not really arguing, it depends on the circumstance. And so the Gemara brings that this was their custom, that they used to do this, that Rabbami Rav Asi have a yasvi begarsi bein amudim. That Rabbami Rav Asi, they used to sit and learn between the pillars, that the so to speak, the top story, which was where the Beis Medrash was, would be supported on these pillars. They would be underneath, and they would learn between the pillars. Every hour, they would bang on the bolt of the door, and they would say the following thing. Whoever has a court case should come in, and we'll judge them. And that is, the Gemara says that, although they were learning, they would stop to have the court cases. And another thing that they used to do regarding court cases, the Gemara says, "Rav Chizda v'Rabba Rav Huna habayasvi bedina kuli yema," that these amirim, they sat in judging the whole entire day, and they were in the bezdin the whole day. Habakacholish lebayu, so the heart was faint. And there's two different pshatim in Rashi. One is either that they were mitzdar because they weren't able to learn the whole entire day, or Rashi says it refers to the fact that they didn't eat all day, and therefore the heart was faint. Either way, so it's because they were in the bezdin the whole day, they were judging court cases. So Tana Lahu Rav Chiya bar Rav Medifti, so Rav Chiya bar Rav Medifti came to tell them that how great the reward of Dayanim are, of judges, that they shouldn't be mitzdar, that they're not learning, because they're getting great merit. Or according to the other pshat, that they were fasting the whole day, and therefore they had that, so to speak, the hunger pangs. So he was telling them that they don't have to sit and judge all day, rather even some of the day is enough. And as the Gemara is going to bring, that although it seems to say from a pasuk that a judge has to sit from the morning till the night, that it's not really true. It's a medrash that tells us that it's considered as if he sat from morning till night. As he brought them the following pasuk in Sefer Shemos, it says that the nation stood waiting on Moshe from the morning till the evening. So the medrash says, would you think that Moshe Rabbeinu sat and judged the people the whole entire day? When would his Torah learning have ever happened? Moshe Rabbeinu was the Messiah. He had to know the whole entire Torah. He had to constantly be reviewing it. Rather, what's coming to tell you is called Dayan Shadon Dinamis Lamitai. Rather, every judge that judges a true, pure judgment without any other bias, Afila Shachas, even one moment, Mala Lavakasa of Kilu Nasa Shotav Lakadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Reishis. That we consider the person as if he became a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. And that is what the pasuk was saying, because Sivach, it says over here, that the nation stood waiting on Moshe in the morning till the evening. Uch Sivhasim says a similar terminology by the creation of the world, that it was the evening and it was the morning one day. I come to tell you, just like there, the terminology Erev and Vayikra says that that was the creation of the world. So the Moshe Rabbein was Erev and Vayikra to tell you that he also was a partner in the creation of the world, because he judged a true judgment, but he was telling them that you don't have to stay the whole entire day. Even if you take a certain amount of hours in the day and you judge, you can still learn, you can still eat, and it's going to be, it will be considered as if you were a partner in Maisa Vereishis, and that's what it means, that he sat on them from Min HaBoyke Ad HaErev. So now the Gemara asks, Ad Mosa Yoshev Medin, that is, how long do we have to sit in judgment that then it would be permitted to stop, because we say you don't have to judge the whole entire day. So up until what hour should a judge judge, and then he can go ahead and do what he has to do? So Rav Sheshi says, Adzman Suda, until the time when customarily they eat their afternoon meal. Rav Chama Maikra, what's the pasuk that says? This Tachsiba says, a pasuk in Kehelas. Eloch Eretz, woe to you the land, Shemalkech Nora, that your king acts like an adolescent. And that is, the king is a reference to the judges, because the judges call the king, as it says the pasuk in Mishlei, Melech Bemishpat Yamet Eretz. We see the king is the reference of the one who, so to speak, enforces judgment. That's the judge. So woe to you, the land, that your kings act like adolescents, v'sarayich baboik yechelan, that your ministers, that they eat and they dine in the morning. Ashreich eretz, but happy is the land, shemalkich ben chayim, that your kings are men of dignity, v'sarayich v'es yechelu, and that your ministers, they eat in their proper time. And that is that's the reference of this pasuk, that, in other words, that they don't eat in the morning. The sarayich baboik yechelu is eloch, is woe to you. Rather happy are those, the judges, that they, so to speak, they're busy first judging, and then they eat in the proper time. That's the ben chayrim. Those are the men of dignity that they eat. Be'ez yechelu, they eat in the proper time. And then the pasuk ends, begvura v'loy vashti, that they eat in might, but they don't eat in drunkenness. And that is, as the Gemara says, what's that a reference to? That's begvur shel Torah, that they accustom themselves with the strength of Torah, v'loy v'shtiyah shel yayin, and not with the drunkenness of wine. And that is, that's how they eat their meal, so to speak, a teredigah meal, and not a drunken meal. And that's the praiseworthy of the judges, that they should eat up until the Zman of Suda, which is be'ez yechelu, in the proper time. Now the Gemara will bring a brice that discusses the different meal times regarding the different types of people that there are. Tan Rabban. The first hour of the morning is the way the people, the Ludim, eat their meals. That is, that's a nation that Rashi says they're called cannibalists, which are Oichle Adam, they're cannibal. They're cannibalistic, that they eat men, they eat people, and they're very hungry. And therefore, the first hour of the morning, they're ready eating, that's when they eat their meal. Shnia, the second hour of the day, Michaelistim, is when the time when thieves eat. And that is because thieves stay up all night, and they also have this ravenous appetite, so therefore they don't do it the first hour, but at the second hour they're already eating. Shlish is Michael Yershin. The third hour of the day is when people that inherit great wealth, that they don't have to be matrich themselves, so they don't work so hard, and they're not worried to go ahead and find some panos in the job. And since they're not working hard, already in the third hour, they're already having their early meal. Revius Michael Poilim, the fourth hour in the day is when laborers eat. Chamish is Michael Kaladim, and the fifth hour is when regular people that are self-employed or people that are not laborers, that's when they eat their meal. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that true? But Va'amr, Rapapa, Revius is Mansud al-Kaladim. Rapapa said that it's not the fifth hour that's the mealtime for everybody, rather it's the fourth hour that's the mealtime for everyone. So he says it has to be reversed. Revius is Michael Kaladim, the fourth hour of the day is when regular people eat their meal. Chamish is Michael Poilim, the fifth hour is when the laborers work, because they're busy working, and they, so to speak, they're eating the latest from everybody. However, Shish is Michael Tamil Chacham, the sixth hour, that's the latest, that's when Tamil Chacham, that's when Torah scholars eat their meal. However, Mikan Ve'eluch, Kazurik Evan Lechemus, if you eat after the sixth hour, that's the meal you're going to eat, it's like throwing a stone, a rock, into a bag. And that is, it's difficult, it's harsh for the body. That's one opinion Rashi says, that it seems to him that's not harsh, but it's not going to be good. It's not helpful for the body. However, Abaye qualifies this and says, Lo Yomaran, we didn't say this, that it's going to be harmful or at least not beneficial for the body if you only eat your meal. You don't eat until after the sixth hour. El d'loitom midi b'tzafra. It's only if you did not taste anything in the morning. Avotom midi b'tzafra. But if, let's say, you ate something, you had at least a coffee or something in the morning, but then we're not concerned, then it still will be beneficial even if you eat your meal after 6 hours into the day. So now the Gemara goes back to one of the things we mentioned on Mishnah was discussing a merchatz regarding the activities that go ahead in the bathhouse when we should not begin that before the Zman Mincha, and when, once we do, we don't have to stop. So now the Gemara discusses some different aspects of a merchatz. Amar Avad Bahava Mispal Odom Tvilasa Bebesa Merchatz. A person is allowed to daven his Shemayna Esrei in a bathhouse. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, we learned Hanichnas Lebesa Merchatz. If someone goes into a bathhouse, and in their bathhouse, there were three different rooms. The inner room was the one where they would have the shvitz, so to speak, where they would sweat and where they would wash themselves. The middle room was the one where they would go from there into the merchatz, and that's where they would get dressed. And the outer room was where they would finish getting dressed, where they already had been partially dressed, and then that's where they would rest a little bit from the, so to speak, the faintness from taking the bath and then and all the shvitz and everything in the sweating in the bathhouse. So there, if someone goes into the base of merchatz, so it depends where you are regarding saying dvam shebekdusha. Malkim shebnei adam aimdim levushin, the place where people stand clothed, that's the outer room. So then, yesha mikra tefillah, there you're allowed to say Shema, and you're allowed to daven Shemayna Esrei. Ve'en tzarich lomar she'ilas shalom, and we don't have to tell you that for sure. You could greet someone else with the word shalom, or manech tefillin, you could put on tefillin. Ve'en tzarich lomar she'en lechalitz, and definitely you don't have to take off your tefillin. So that's because you could even put on the tefillin. So that's in the outer room. Makom shebnei adam oimdim arumin ulavushin. How about the room where the people sometimes stand either naked or clothed? And that is, again, that's the middle room where they go out from there naked and they quickly get dressed from the bathhouse and then they go outside. So it's some are, you know, either clothed or some of them are either not. The Yesham Shila Shalom, there you could greet your friend with the name Shalom. You could tell him peace. The Ein Shem Mikra Tefillah, but you can't say Shema over there and you're not allowed to daven Shemayna Esrei. The Ein Chayla Tefillin, and you don't have to take off your tefillin. But you're not allowed to initially go ahead and put your tefillin on over there in that room. And the place where people stand totally naked, that is the inner room where the actual bathhouse is. Ein shem sheila shalom, there you can't even greet someone by saying shalom, by saying peace. Definitely we don't have to tell you that you can't say Shema and Dama Shema and Esrei. And b'chayla tefillin, you even have to take off your tefillin from your head. We don't have to tell you that you're not allowed to put them on. So the question is, we see from this that tefillah is usher in the merchatz, that at least definitely in the middle room and in the inner room that one is not allowed to daven. So how could he have said a blanket statement that a person can daven Shemayna Esrei in the Beis HaMerchatz when we see over here that person is not allowed to daven Shemayna Esrei in the Beis HaMerchatz in the bathhouse? So the Gemara answers, Ki kamer Rav Adar Bahava b'merchatz she'im bo'y adam. Rav Adar Bahava, when he says you're allowed to daven in the merchatz, he's talking about in the bathhouse where no one's there. There is no person there. It was locked. You open up. You had the keys. So therefore, it's no problem because no one's standing naked at all. So the Gemara asks, "V'amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, merchatz, amar this that we said regarding the halachas of a merchatz, of a bathhouse, whether the inner room or all the different rooms, the halachas we said, afa pishein b'nei adam, that's even if there's nobody there, it still has the same halacha. And moreover, basic kisish amar regarding a lavatory that we spoke about, afa pishein b'tzai, that's even if there's no excrement, that is even if they really cleaned out the bathroom, there's nothing there, it doesn't make a difference, it will have the same halachas of regarding the isra, reciting Devar Meshav Kedusha, of words of Tefillah and Shema. So therefore, that's not a good terrorist to say he's talking about there's no people, because the halacha doesn't change. Because the area is designated for that type of activity, and therefore it doesn't change, even if no one's there. So therefore, the Gemara says, Eli kikam Rav Adar b'chadati. Rav Adar was talking about a new bathhouse, that nobody had ever taken a bath there at all. It was just designated to be a bathhouse. In other words, they were, so to speak, building it. And it was ready, but no one had ever used it. And therefore, there's no problem. It does not have the halacha yet of the status of a Beis HaMerchatz. And therefore, you're allowed to daven there. But the Gemara asks, but Ravina had actually inquired about this actual case. He asked as follows. He's minu l'beis hakisei mahu. If they designated a room for a bathroom, for a lavatory. Yesh zimun o ein zimun. His question was, is there a halachic consideration of designation or not? V'lo yivshut t'lei. And it was not resolved to him, this halacha. So therefore, lav hu adin l'merchatz, wouldn't the same question that he asked regarding a lavatory apply to a bathhouse? And therefore, how can you go ahead and say that you're allowed to daven there if, so to speak, this big Talmud Chacham Ravina had not resolved that if it's considered zimun or ein zimun? And you're, so to speak, saying that ein zimun, that it's not considered designated, and you could still daven in it. So Gemara says, loy, no. Dilma, maybe, and we continue on to Amud Beis, that shani beis hakisei demois, maybe a lavatory is different because it's repulsive. And that is because it has a derogatory name to it, attached to it, it's a bathroom. And therefore, there he inquired, it wasn't clear if the hazmana milsahi or not, if, so to speak, if the preparation, the designation, considers it already that halacha. But regarding a bathhouse, maybe he, Utaka, would have understood and resolved it, that if it's only designated, it does not have the halacha, because a merchatz does not have that same repulsiveness that a bathroom has, and therefore if it's just designated, it's not going to be usher to daven in. Now the Gemara continues what we mentioned before, that we said regarding the merchatz panimi, the inner chamber where the actual bathing goes on in the bathhouse, that ein sham shila shalom, that there you're not allowed to even inquire about, greet someone else, how he's doing, by saying peace, saying shalom, the Hebrew word shalom. So Gemara says, "Misayele Rav Amnuna Mishmeidu Ula," that this seems to support what Rav Amnuna said in the name of Ula. "Do Amar Asal Adam Sheitin Shalom L'Chaver Beis Amerchas," that you're not allowed to give your friend Shalom by saying in the Hebrew word Shalom peace in the bathhouse. Why? What's wrong with that? Mishem Mishenem, because it says in the pasuk, "But Yikra Loi Hashem Shalom," that he called to him, and that is Gidon called to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He said Hashem Shalom. In other words, that we see that Hashem's name is Hashem Shalom. That Shalom is one of Hashem's names, and therefore you can't say that in the bathhouse. If so, the Gemara asks, Elamata Himanusa Nami Osalemebesakise, it should be usher to mention the word faith in the bathroom also, to talk about anything about Emuna. Lefsim, because it says, Hakel Hanem, the faithful God. So therefore also you see that, so to speak, an adjective, it's a part of describing Hashem's name. So Gemara says, Bechitema Hachanam, if you're going to say that it would be usher to mention Hashem's, to say faith in the bathroom, because it's, so to speak, an adjunct to Hashem's name. That it is permitted to mention faith in a bathroom. So therefore, what's the difference between a Kela Nema, the faithful God, and between when it says in the pasuk Hashem Shalom? So the Gemara answers that it's different. Hasam Shem Gufei Lo Ikri Hachi. There, the name itself is not called faith. It's not a noun. Dimitagaminon Elaka Mehemna, because that's how we translated as the faithful God, and that is, it's just an adjective. Here the name itself is called peace. Hashem Shalom. He called him Hashem Shalom. That's Hashem's name. So therefore, there's a difference between an adjective and a noun. And therefore, Shalom is different because that's Hashem's name versus the Hakela Neman, which is just an adjective describing God's character, so to speak. Now the Gemara continues with many different Amorahic statements by the same Amorah that we mentioned, that was Rav Bar Machasya in the name of Rav Chaim Bar Guri in the name of Rav, all the way continuing on into the next daf, and that is, we mentioned him regarding that there's no iser in saying, talking about faith, although it says Akila Neman in the bathhouse, there's no problem with saying because it's an adjective, not a noun. So the Gemara continues with different statements. Rav Bar Machasya, Rav Chaim Bar Guri, Rav. If someone gives a gift to his friend, he has to inform him that he gave him that gift. And that is, he says, I gave you that gift. And that's a way of covenant, a way of honoring the person, because maybe the person will be embarrassed to accept it. But since you tell him beforehand, and you talk about it, and you, so to speak, you appease him, and you convince him to take it, he won't be embarrassed to take it. Similarly, if also, let's say you just leave it in his house without him knowing about it, you have to tell him, because that is, when he gets it, you want him to know that you love him, that's why you give him the gift. So, so to speak, it's a greater sign of love if you tell the person that you gave it. However, Tosfos does tell us that it's only if you're giving a gift through love, and that is, you want the person to know how much you appreciate them, and that's why I want you to know what I did for you. But if that's only because the bekabel is not going to be misbayish, not going to be embarrassed. But if you're giving tzedakah to someone, then the one who's going to accept is going to be embarrassed. It's nama de kisufa, it's embarrassing bread to accept from someone else. There, you apply the pasuk in Mishlei, it says, matan besesu yechaf av, there's better to give it without the person knowing and without him telling you. You want to do the favor for them that they won't be embarrassed. So what's the raya that a person that gives a gift to his friend, he has to tell him, in other words, to create that goal of achieving that, so to speak, that friendship that you're doing by giving the gift. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, l'da'as k'ani Hashem mekadshchem, that they should know that I am Hashem that makes them holy. In other words, you should tell them, Moshe Rabbeinu, that I want to make them holy, and that's the purpose of the gift, of the mitzvahs that I'm giving them. Why am I giving them all these mitzvahs? I'm giving them a gift, but I want them to know why, because I love them, because I want to make them holy. Tanim Hachi, similarly, we learn in the Braisa, l'da'as k'ani Hashem mekadshchem, that they should know that I am Hashem that made them holy. So the Braisa says, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Matana Toivi Yesh L'Beis Kenazai, I have an unbelievable gift in my treasury house. V'Shabbos, and its name is Shabbos. V'Ani Mevakesh L'Tan L'Yisrael, I want to give it to Klal Yisrael. Lech V'Adim, go and tell them about it. I want them to know, because I want them to know what I'm giving them. Mikan Amar Hashem Gamliel Hanoisin Pasotinik. From here, Hashem Gamliel says that to apply it in our daily lives, that someone that gives a piece of bread to a child, Tzarech Le'Dialimo, he has to tell his mother about it. In other words, because that she should appreciate that people care about her and people are thinking about her and their kids. And that's the same idea, that if you give a gift to someone, you have to tell them. You want them to know, and because almost the greater part of the gift, as many cards do, is just to know that someone's thinking about you. But then the Gemara asks, how does one go about doing that? How do you inform the mother that you gave a gift to the child? You're not near the mother. My Avalei, what do you do to the child? I'm Abaya Shoyif Le Mishcha. You rub the child with oil, in other words, between his eyes, something that's recognizable. And his mother's going to ask, who did that to you? And the child's going to say, that person did that to me. And he also gave me a piece of bread. And that way, the mother will hear about what you did, that you gave her son a gift of bread. Or another way of doing it is a molele kuchli, that is, you apply paint to him. That is, you put paint around his eye. And then another way, a type of thing, his mother says, what happened to you? And she says, oh, this person did that to me. And then he gave me the bread. He's like, oh, and that's the way of letting her know the gift that you gave to the child. However, the Gemara does say that for Inner the Chayishi Lekshafim today, that people are concerned about sorcery, and that is that they're going to be concerned that maybe this person did some type of kish or some witchcraft on my child. My, what should a person do? So my papa, you should rub some of the type of food that you gave the child on the person's, on the kid's face. In other words, if you gave him a candy, you should rub some of the sticky thing on his face. And I say, what happened to you? He says, oh, that person did it to me. Why would he do that? Oh, he gave me a candy. And then that's the way of letting the mother know about it. But then the Gemara asks on this whole concept of Ini, is that true that a person has to let the person know that they gave them the gift? He said explicitly that someone that gives a gift to his friend does not have to let him know about it. Shnema, like it says in a different pasuk, Moshe lo yada, Moshe did not know kikaron oripanav, that the skin of his face was radiant. Medabriita, when Hashem spoke to him. In other words, because Hashem spoke to him, the Shechina, it made his face radiant. And Moshe did not know. Hashem didn't tell him. So you see that although Hashem gave Moshe the gift of this radiance, that he didn't tell him about it. So the Gemara says, Loikasha. It's not a difficulty because Habe Milse David Legluye, here it's talking about that it's ultimately going to be revealed. And he's going to know that Hashem gave him that gift because everyone's going to see him and say, Moshe, what happened to you? And he says, what do you mean? He says, your face is radiant. And he'll know Hashem gave him the gift. But what we were talking about is that it's not going to be revealed ultimately who gave this gift and whatever. We just found this package in their house. Then you have to tell the person again because the idea is that the person should ultimately know that you're the one that gave it to them, so to speak, to consummate the purpose of the giving of the gift. But then the Gemara asks, "But Shabbos David Ligluyeh." Shabbos is also something that ultimately will be revealed. Who cannot realize what Shabbos is and that Hashem gave us Shabbos? No one can give us Shabbos but Hashem, and we'll realize that there's something here that was given to us. Why does Hashem have to tell us about it? So therefore, the Gemara says, "Matan Schara Loy Over Ligluyeh." Everyone knows how great Shabbos is, but the reward for keeping Shabbos, that was not revealed, and that he wanted to tell them through Moshe, through the transmission of Baal Peh, what is the great reward for something that keeps Shabbos? But Shabbos, everybody knows the greatness of Shabbos. Everyone would realize the gift, but to know the reward for keeping Shabbos. Gemara brings a story related to this, Rav Chisda, and this was that Rav Chisda was a Kayan. And as the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Mem Daled, says that there was one city in Eretz Yisrael and had 80 peers of brothers Kahan that married 80 peers of sisters Kahanas to talk about the great Yichus that was in Eretz Yisrael. But they checked in all of Bavel from Surah till Nadar, and they didn't find only two, which are the two daughters of Rav Chisda that married Rami Bar Chama and Marugfa Bar Chama. So we see that Rav Chisda was a kohen. So the Gemara says the following story. He was holding in his hand two peers of the gifts that are given to the Kahanim. That is, he had two sets of the Zraya, which is the foreleg, the right foreleg, and the L'chayim, the jaw, and the cave, and the maw, that was given to him as Matnas Kahuna, and it's allowed to be eaten for any Jew, not only for a kohen. And although Rav Chisda was in Chutz La'aretz, Rashi says, we don't learn from here that the Matanis of Kahuna are applicable today, because today the world is noyig, like as the Gemara in Brachas of Chav Beis says, Kitlas Asabe, like three elders that were mekel in these three areas of Halacha. One is like Rabbi Yosha regarding Kalayim, one is regarding Rabbi Huda regarding the Tefillah of Balkari for Talmud Torah, and one is like Rabbi Eliyahu regarding Reishis Hageiz, the first shearing of one's flock. And that he said that it doesn't apply only in Eretz Yisrael, and the same thing would apply regarding the Matnas Kahuna. However, in the days of Rav Chisda, they still were not accustomed themselves like Rabbi Eliyahu. And in the days of Rabbi Nachman ben Yitzchak, they were noig like him regarding Rishis, I guess, and not regarding Matanis. But now Rashi says, today we see that they're noig like that even regarding Matnas Kahuna. And that is that we see, just like by the minig of Reishis, I guess, in the days of Reb Nachman, that they were Mekel, and they were, the, so to speak, Chazal were not Moicha, and the whole world was Noig like him. Rashi says, Halacha today is also the same thing, that we're Noig the same thing we read in Matnas Kuhuna, that we don't change the minig, and that Matnas Kuhuna would not apply today. But Rav Chisda, although he was in Chutz La'aretz, in his time, they were still Noig Matnas Kuhuna in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, he was holding these two sets of Matnas Kuhuna. Omar, Kalmanda Asiba Amali Shmait Zachad Pemeshmeid Rav. Whoever's going to come and tell me a new teaching in the name of Rav, in other words, something that I had not yet heard, I'm going to give him all these gifts, which was a large quantity of meat that he had from these Matnas Kuhuna. Samalei Rav Bar Machasi Ahachi Amarav. He said the following statement that we mentioned before in the Gemara. Hanoisim Baton L'chaver Tzorch L'adir. If someone gives a gift to his friend, he has to tell him about it. Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk, L'das Kani Hashem Mekadesh Shem, that they should know that I am Hashem that's making them holy. I want them to know that I'm giving them this gift. So Yahavin Allah, he gave him all the Matnas Kuhuna because of this statement that he said over the name of Rav that he had never heard before. So Amar, so Rav Bar Machasi told him, Chavivin Alecha Shmaitzid Rav Kuli Hai, is it so dear to you the teachings of Rav so much that you're willing to give away so much of this quantity of meat? Amalei, and he says yes. So Amalei, Hainu Dom Rav, so Rav Bar Machasi responded to him and said, this is reflective of what Rav had once said, that milsa, that regarding a garment of fine wool, alvishayu yakira, that it's precious on the one who wears it. And that is, there's a certain type of a cloak that is very precious to someone that constantly, and he's accustomed to wearing it. For him, that's something that he would pay good money for because it's something he's used to. What he meant to tell him was that since you're a Talmud of Rav, you're a student of Rav, and you're so accustomed to his teaching, so therefore you go and search after them because it's your Rebbe and you want to hear more statements. So Malay, I'm a Rav Hochi. So he responded to him, did Rav really say this? So he said, Basrai Sadivili Mikamaisam, the last teaching you said over in the name of Rav to me is better to me than the first one you told me. And vi have in the kit nachrit, if I had other matnas kahuna, other quantities of meat, I would have given it to you because it's dearer to me than the first one you told me in the name of Rav that I had given to you the matnas kahuna for. The Gemara continues with another statement by the same Amor with the same transmission of the Messiah. From a Rav Bamachasi, I'm a Rav, Chama Barguya, I'm a Rav. A person should never treat one of his children differently than the rest of his sons. And that is Shabishvil Mishkal Shnei Sloim Milas, because of the weight of just two sloim of fine wool, that is how much different there was Shanosin Yaakov Li Yosef Yosef Mishabanab, that Yaakov had given to his son Yosef more than the other sons, which was the Ksainus Pasim, which some say was just the trimming had this type of expensive wool, and that is just a minute amount that was, so to speak, more than the other sons. So his brothers were jealous of him. And then the whole matter evolved. And that's how our forefathers came to Mitzrayim. We should not treat our children differently because of the kin of the jealousy that could come out because of such a thing. As we see, that's why we came down to Mitzrayim. The Rosh Tosfos asks, but it was already decreed to Avraham Avinu, the Avdam Avinu Oisam, that your children are going to be enslaved and they're going to be afflicted. So therefore, that's why they went down to Mitzrayim, not because of this incident. So Tosfos says that maybe it wasn't decreed that it should be so much affliction. Rather, it only happened because of this story with Yosef and the brothers. As we see that the 400 years started before Yitzchak was even born, 30 years, and therefore we see that that was already considered gullus, although they didn't have it so bad off. It's just that they weren't in their main land or whatever it is. So therefore, the fact that they had such a difficult time in Mitzrayim, that was because of the jealousy of Yosef and his brothers, and that started because that Yaakov gave a little bit more to one of the sons than the others. Another statement by the same Amor. Rav Amar Rav Amachasim Rav Chama Bar Gur Yom Rav. La'oil mechazar Adam v'yeshiv be'ir she'yeshivas akarev. A person should always look after to settle in a city that its inhabitation was recent, that it has not been around so long, it's a new city. And the reason is she'metech she'yeshivas akarev, that since it was just recently inhabited, it has very few transgressions in the consciousness, in the whole, so to speak, plurality of this city. Shenem, like it says in the following pasuk, that Loi told the Malachim after he was saved from Sidon, Hine noha ir hazois kreiva lo nesham. He says, behold, please, this city over here is close to run away to. The he mitzvah and it's small. So the Gemara asks, my kreiva, what does it mean that it's close? Ilim kreiva de mekarviv, it means that it's close, in other words, physically that it's close, and that is so that it's quick to get there, to run away to, bezuta, and that it was small, that was a means that it's mitzvah. It was just, you don't have to be worried about destroying it because it's not that many people. But what do you mean? The Malachim themselves could have seen that. Why did Lloyd have to tell them that it's close and that it's small? What he meant to tell them was that since its inhabitation was close and that it was it's a recent city that was built, that's what it means, mitzah, that it's small, that its sins, its transgressions are few. That's why let me go there so that I won't take the same fate like Sodom was. So the Gemara says, Ramarav and Micro, what's the pasuk that tells us this? They said, because it says, Imolten no shama, that Lloyd told the Malachim, the angels, let me please flee there. So the word no, nun aleph, begematria, nun v'charhav, it's the gematria, the numerical evaluation of the word nun is 50, and aleph is 1, that's 51. Vishal Sodom nun v'beis, and Sodom was 52 years old from when it was built. As the Gemara says, and therefore this city that he wanted to go to was 1 year less, was already worthwhile because it was, so to speak, 1 year newer, that it had less averis than Sodom. As the Gemara says, Vishalvasa, that the peace, which was a reference in the pasuk in Yecheskel, that it says, Go'in savata lechem, Vishalvas hashkira, that Sodom had certain times of tranquility and peace. So we continue on to the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph, was Chavav, 26 years, Sodom had tranquility. The Chsebet says in the Pasuk, Shteim Esri Shana of the Eskedolayma, that for 12 years they served Kedolayma, which was a very powerful king. Veshlesh Esri Shana Maradu, and for 13 years they rebelled against him. Uba Abba Esri Shana, and in the 14th year, that's when they, so to speak, that's when it ended. And that is, we see that for 12 years that they served Kedolayma, that wasn't considered peace. And for the 13 years that they rebelled, that's also not peace because there were wars. So that's 25 years. And in the 26th year, that's when Kedolayma was killed. So therefore, they had the remaining 26 years for peace. So 26 years was not peace. The remaining 26 was peace. And that's the 52 years that Sodom was around. And that is that we see that Sodom was 52 years old. This city was Noah, was 51 years old. So it had 1 year less. That was already worthwhile to go there. That it was Kareva, that it was recently inhabited. And the mitzvah that it had, few sins, at least fewer than Sodom.